Välkommen, du lyssnar på Lottapodden avsnitt nummer 44. I den här podden samtalar vi om ämnen som rör mänskliga rättigheter och demokrati med fokus på kvinnors delaktighet. Och det är ju jag, Maria Öst, tillsammans med personer som på olika sätt arbetar för att skapa ett säkrare och tryggare samhälle. Lottapodden, den är producerad av Svenska Lottakåren och vi är en frivillig försvarsorganisation som engagerar och utbildar kvinnor för att stärka samhällets krisberedskap och totalförsvaret. I det här avsnittet samtalar jag med Shannon Lövgren som till vardags jobbar med lokal demokratiutveckling på Internationellt centrum för lokal demokrati, ICLD. Samtalet kretsar runt deras program för att stärka kvinnliga politiska representanter men även resultatet från ett ledarskapsprogram i Zimbabwe. Arbetet som ICLD gör handlar i stort om att ge deltagarna kunskaper och insikter för att de ska kunna skapa förändring i sina lokalsamhällen. Och det är verkligen fascinerande att höra Shannon berätta om hur snabbt det i många fall sker förändring i det lilla, men som över tid skapar mer demokratiska och inkluderande samhällen. Häng med och lyssna. Shannon, welcome to Lottapodden.
Thank you, it's great to be here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, my name is Shannon Lövgren. I'm from the United States originally, and I've lived in Stockholm, Sweden for the last 6 years. I have worked for in development my entire professional career. First working for USAID in Kenya, and then I was a firefighter in Los Angeles, and then I moved to Sweden to get my master's degree in global health. And then I have worked with ICLD, which is the International Center for Local Democracy, for the last 5 years.
So firefighting.
Yeah.
That got me curious. So that's not a very usual career for a woman.
No, it isn't. I was one of three candidates out of 60 cadets, and only 2% of the Los Angeles Fire Department is female firefighters. But after working overseas in development, I moved back to California, where I'm from, and I thought, what is a development job that I could do in Los Angeles? And I thought, okay, what better job is there to come to people's need when they need you? So a firefighter is a humanitarian aid job, but in the middle of a city.
That's true.
So,
and definitely somewhere where more women needs to come into.
Yes, they definitely need more women. It's not easy to come into it, but they need more women for every reason.
Okay, so a little bit sidetracked there, but
yeah.
So back to ICLD then. So what is that? What kind of organization is that?
So the ICLD stands for the International Center for Local Democracy, and we work to promote democracy in low-income countries around the world, in Eastern Europe and in Africa and Asia. And what we try to do is strengthen local democracies or local governments as opposed to national governments, because we think that the people at the local level are more responsible and more responsive to their constituents. So we work to strengthen politicians and administrators to be less corrupt, to be more involved, to involve more people, to include women in all decision making. But we help to strengthen local politicians and administrators to be better at their job so that they can provide better service delivery to their constituents. So I often say that our organization is, we strive to encourage the best in local government. And it's an easy job because people want to do the best. But one of the key areas that we try to strengthen is women's involvement in politics. We have several programs that are focused strictly on strengthening women politicians in these countries. And some of them come from larger cities, some of them come from very rural areas, and they come from all different education levels, from only having a primary education to being PhD candidates. But we know that whoever they are and for whatever position they hold, they're responsible to provide services, and therefore they need to have a voice, and that voice needs to be strong. And so we help provide a space for them to develop their voice and their knowledge and their strength and their ways of promoting good business practices.
So why is that important when you say that it's important to get women involved? Why them?
Well, at a local level, there has been a lot of research done on when women are involved in political making decisions, communities do better. They have more children in school, especially girls in school. They have better financial development. They have less corruption. They have more community satisfaction with the political decisions that get made. And the women tend to prioritize different things. Men tend to prioritize infrastructure, and women tend to prioritize good healthcare, good education, and more health and well-being for the citizens in general. So it makes a difference. And ideally, there should be a balance. Mm. But unfortunately, around the world, women are maybe between 10 and 20% of the decision-making positions, as opposed to 50-50, as it should be.
And when ICLD gets involved, what's happened before that? Is that the country that's asked you guys to come in, or is it the organization that's kind of looked at and said, here, we can come and help?
ICLD is funded through the Swedish Development Cooperation Agency, SIDA. We advertise programs specifically to the local governments, and we say we have an 18-month international training program, or we have a communal partnership, which is another area that ICLD works with, and we have a knowledge center. But what we usually do is advertise the opportunity for a municipal partnership between a local community in another country and a community in Sweden. Or we advertise a international training program saying, would you like to participate in this program? And then they usually have a theme, and it could be economic development, political leadership. It could be increasing a gender balance between decision makers in a local municipality. It can be a whole range of different topics.
So when it comes to the program for women, what could that look like?
Well, in the current program that I'm responsible for, we have 24 women politicians. They're from all over Southern Africa and Eastern Europe. They are local politicians, and they come in. It's an 18-month program. They meet together for the first time, and they talk about what are their challenges, what are their opportunities, and they get together and share their challenges. And what you might think a rural community in Zambia has almost nothing in common with a city in Serbia. And yet when you put these women together in the room, they have a phenomenal amount in common. And not just about gender bias, but they have practical and technical issues that they need to solve. For example, we have a woman in Serbia who wild dogs is her biggest problem. Dogs are running wild. And they are partnered with a Swedish mentor, a Swedish political mentor. And they can just say, Sweden also used to have a wild dog problem, and we have done it. We have solved that problem by doing this, this, and this. And then that gets related to a country maybe in Zambia who says, well, we have done this. And the three of those different environments, or the three different cultures, come together to solve a problem that maybe one person by themselves wouldn't have come across it. Maybe wouldn't have had that resource. So we're blending the world's experiences to help solve problems, not just in these low-income countries, but also in Sweden. Some of the Swedish politicians have said, sometimes the answer has been so easy that my eyes have been opened by the simple solutions that my partner in Tanzania suggested, that I had made so complicated and so bureaucratic that I couldn't see the forest through the trees. But through this partnership, we've been able to help each other. And
fantastic.
The goal is to provide better services. And you really see the passion for that. So this brings different cultures together to strengthen their networks and their ability to solve these problems.
And I think, isn't that kind of a key that, you know, you're getting all these cultures together because of we're so globalized today that we can't really work in isolation. We need to have those networks to strengthen each other and learn from each other.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That sounds wonderful.
It is wonderful and really exciting just now as we've been working a bit with the Sustainable Development Goals. And this is a universal plan to make the world better.
Yeah.
And everyone has that goal. We want to live in a world without poverty, without hunger, and with clean energy. And they together work on these issues, but in different contexts in their own countries. But everyone is making small steps. And as everyone makes small steps towards these goals, everyone is encouraged. And when you get encouraged, you get more confidence to go further and to be stronger and to lift your voice louder. And that's incredible because some of these politicians, some of the women that we work with have been tokens. They've been elected to fill a quota.
Yeah.
They've been elected as a joke in some cases. And then they get into their positions and people think, oh, their position is to dance and to provide food, to say the opening prayer at the beginning of a meeting. And maybe that's their role at the beginning of this program, but by the end, they know their role, they know their position, and they know their power. And they take it. And when they take their place up at the podium and they say what they think and they listen to the community and then they voice that to the other decision makers, they are just incredible, unstoppable, really. It's one of the joys of being part of these programs is to see the transformation from insecure to fully empowered.
Yeah,
it's beautiful because they're so happy with knowing their own power and knowing the difference that they can make in the things that they do, and that they are listened to with equal respect. That's what we all want, isn't it? As human beings, to be heard.
That's so true. And I'm also thinking the impact that these women make when they come back home. Of course, over time, over the program. But what have you seen that there's a higher participation overall when they come back and they start listening and using their new skills?
Yes, definitely. So when they start the program, they don't really know what to expect. And then they go home and there's something amazing about sitting people in a room together and saying, you all have power, because they almost immediately recognize that, oh, that's right, I have power. And they go back to their communities. Almost immediately you see changes where they go and they get the community to come and listen to them. And then they speak to them and they engage them. And you can see differences immediately. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, my counselor, I didn't even know who she was, and now she has changed our whole community. And you think, okay, how did she change your community? Well, we are all together and we are all working on projects to, you know, depending on the context, they might be cleaning up their city, they might be getting rid of garbage, they might be working together to purchase a bicycle so that the local nurse can get from one patient to another. They're doing small and incredible things and then huge things. For instance, in Lusaka we have, one of the participants is the deputy mayor of the city of Lusaka, which is in Zambia. And she has said, we have this huge informal sector in Lusaka. We've been regulating them and regulating them, but we haven't been talking to them.
Mm.
So she called in the entire, the entire informal settlement, thousands and thousands of people, and said, we need to know what you need so that we know how we can help you in providing services to you, and you will have a responsibility to then provide back to your community. And that changed, that went from a very hostile situation to a, okay, we can work together to solve this problem. But before that, it was just a fight. And now it's a conversation.
So really using democracy as it should be done.
Yes. Yeah.
And all the tools that are available within democracy for conversation and participation.
Yes. I mean, a big part of these programs are to, we talk a lot about inclusion and participation and responsibility. So we think that good leadership includes those three things, coupled with transparency. And we teach our participants, those core areas in those things, and they implement them because they know that they work. And if I can give you a tool that makes you do your job better, and you use it and you see the results of, oh, my job just got better, and it just got easier, and it just got more fun, then you use that. So we are thrilled that inclusion and participation and accountability are so fulfilling to these participants. ICLD has done a research report on the impact of international training programs in Zimbabwe. And I think the most impact that we have is our, one, encouraging each other, and two, the networking of we are working together as men and women to create a more accountable and transparent and equitable world. And people want that. But leaders need to start implementing that. But when we say, this is what we expect of you as a great leader, they become better leaders. Wonderful. Maybe they weren't that in the beginning, but they are that now. They are. With that in mind, I have a story about one of our participants who was a counselor. So he's a male counselor in Zimbabwe. And when we met him, we said, well, what do you want to get out of this program? And he said, well, I didn't know what I wanted to get out of this program before I came here. I just thought it sounded interesting. And I said, okay, well, now you're here. What do you want? And he said, I want to quit being a dictator.
Wow.
And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he says, in my community, I make all the decisions. I tell people what to do, and I tell who what to do. And I don't really like it, but that's all I know how to do. So I, now that I'm in this program, I want you to help me to stop being a dictator. Flash forward a year and a half later, we went back to his community. We invited his local administrator. And his administrator said, what have you done to my counselor? He used to rule with an iron fist. And now he is listening to the community. Everybody thinks that he has completely changed. And I said, well, when you say he's completely changed, what do you mean? And they said, one, he's happier. Two, he listens. And three, he delegates. He gives people work to do that they want to do instead of the work that he was just before telling them to do. And everyone's happier. So we are very happy in our community with what you have done with our counselor. I said,
fantastic.
I did not do anything with your counselor. Your counselor came to us and said, I don't want to be a dictator. And we just helped him. So
fantastic.
How fun is that? That's great.
Wow, oh, that's really a great story of how one person, just by actually learning something new, learning some new tools, can change so many people's lives.
Yeah. And you forget that when you're doing international development, that sometimes it's not that people have, have bad agendas. It's that they've never seen anything different.
Yeah.
And in his case, he had never seen anything different than a dictatorial type of management style.
So what's next then, now, in the program and for you?
All of our programs are ongoing. So we have the good fortune of having the opportunity to see a number of people's development over time and to take up new issues, whether it be gender equality or sustainable development goals, to see how that has changed. Even in the 5 years that I've worked for ICLD, it used to be very exotic to talk about gender mainstreaming. Now it's almost a household name.
Yeah.
The sustainable development goals. You know, people used to say, oh, I don't know what that is. Now people are saying, oh, well, we're implementing the SDG number 6 in my community as our focal goal, and we've reached this and this target. You think, wow, not only is our participants growing, but to have that conversation happening around the world means that the whole world is moving forward in the right direction and having conversations more and more openly about inequality, injustice, imbalance in decision making, and it's really exciting. So I look forward to seeing that curve continue in the right direction.
Fantastic. So a lot of hope for the future then.
Yes, I'm very hopeful for the future, and I feel like I get to have a special insight because I meet so many people from around the world. And we hear all this bad news and war and destruction and this tragedy. But when you see people who have their feet on the ground in these different countries and they're doing things to make their own communities better, and they are reducing, you know, people are wearing their seatbelts in Africa. They used to never wear their seatbelts. They still have some work to do, but slowly but surely steps are being taken to make the world a better place. And it's really hopeful.
Great note to end on, I think. Thank you so much, Shannon, for coming by and sharing a little bit of your work with us.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Ja, tänk så mycket vi har att vinna på genom att vara öppna för nya förslag och infallsvinklar. Och det får vi ju när vi möter nya människor, tänker jag. Det kan ju vara lätt att tro att en person som vuxit upp i Sverige inte har någonting gemensamt med en person som växt upp i till exempel södra Afrika. Men jag lovar att börjar vi bara prata med varandra så kommer vi hitta fler saker vi har gemensamt och vi kommer också lära av varandra. Och det demokratiska samtalet, alltså det vill säga samtal där vi faktiskt lyssnar på varandra och försöker förstå varandras synvinkel, är oerhört viktiga för att alla ska kunna känna sig delaktiga i vårt samhälle. För när alla känner sig delaktiga då kan vi lättare förebygga konflikter och missförstånd. Och det leder till ett säkrare och tryggare samhälle. Länk till mer information relaterat till det vi samtalat om i det här avsnittet hittar du som vanligt på lottapodden.se. I förra avsnittet pratade vi om krisberedskap och du som lyssnar kunde vinna ett exemplar av Anna-Marias bok Prepping. Att hoppas på det bästa men förbereda sig på det värsta. Grattis säger vi till de lyckliga vinnarna som får boken hem på posten. Och om du, precis som Svenska Lottakåren, tycker att fred, demokrati och mänskliga rättigheter är värda att försvara och vill engagera dig för ett säkrare och tryggare samhälle, jag går då till svenskalottakåren.se. Där hittar du information om hur just du kan bidra. Nästa avsnitt av Lottapodden kan du lyssna på om 2 veckor den 28 juni. Och då får du möta Helena Andersson och Malin Svalling som båda jobbar i marinen.
Helena Andersson heter jag. Jag är 29 år. Är andre stridsledningsofficer just här på Kullen. Jobbar inom stridsledningstjänsten, leder strid i 3 dimensioner.
Jag heter Malin Svalling och jag jobbar som sjöman ombord på en spaningsbåt. Och mitt primära jobb då är att jobba som sonaroperatör, vilket innebär att jag lyssnar på vad som kan finnas under vattnet med vad som kallas en passiv sonar. Och så jobbar jag också mycket på däck som matros, kan man säga.
Så för att säkerställa att du inte missar nästa avsnitt så prenumerera gärna på Lottapodden på Apple Podcast eller Podbean. Och om du gillar Lottapodden, berätta gärna för andra om den. Och tack för att du lyssnar. Hej så länge!